Alleluia.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke chapter 17, reading from verse 5. This will be found on page 82 of the New Testament section of the Church Bible. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from ploughing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Since Epaphroditus got ill and nearly died, I noticed how positive Paul was. He was realistic, but positive. And he's thinking of others and speaks at the end about rejoicing. Rejoicing in the Lord, not rejoicing in his circumstances, but rejoicing in the Lord. He sets an example he would like them to follow. And he holds up to us the examples of his two supporters. I wonder what grumbles Paul might have been addressing. We don't know. I looked up the dictionary to see how it defined grumbling, and this is what it says: complain in a bad-tempered way, a low rumbling sound, an expression of discontent, unhappy murmur, a growl. Done any growling or heard any growling recently? I had to ask myself whether I was guilty of growling. The uncomfortable answer was yes, I have been at times. In fact, I must have been a real pain, and apologies to Jennifer, who has probably listened to most of them. Grumbling drags us all down. Now, Paul is actually harking back to the Exodus, where the Israelites notoriously grumbled in the desert. They forgot that the Lord had taken them out of Egypt and rescued them. They forgot all his miracles. Their negative attitude slowed them all down. It made a 40-day journey last 40 years. Now, I don't think I would have liked to have been an Israelite at that time with sand in my food, if I had any. It was hardly a luxury diet. This is one of the forms their grumbling took. We remember how things used to be. The fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions and garlic. They were slaves in Egypt. Had they forgotten the hard labor? Did they only remember the good times? And could they not have trusted God to provide? How would it have been if they had backed Moses up, supported him, grasped the bigger picture of where they had come from and where they were going? Grumbling is divisive. But simply repressing our grumpiness is no help either. So what do we do with our negative feelings? Well, for a start, we try to put right what we can. Now, every single time we go to Stoke Lee Residential Home to lead them in singing for the soul, we sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer." The folk there certainly have something to grumble about. And we hope that by singing this week after, or month after month, that they will catch on what a friend Jesus is and what they can do. Simple. But do we do that? No, I'm afraid not always. Or not straight away, anyway. Now, what if you hear grumbling around you? It can be difficult, can't it, to know what to do? Can you help it to turn it into something positive? And to try and think what lies behind the grumbling? Decide not to collude. Don't be sucked in or be a part of the grumbling machine. Grumbling is infectious. Avoid infection and don't catch the disease. Now, change is challenging, I know. I struggle with it. As we get older, it gets more difficult to change. Can you teach an old dog new tricks? I'm hoping so, and I'm counting on it. Daily we try to keep up with change, figuring out our new gadgets and sorting out which button to press. Now, some of us have given up. And the place where we would like everything to stay still and stable and safe is church. The church is having to keep its eye on the ball and is challenged to make changes in the light of a changing culture around us. While we, as leaders, respect the desire for stability and understand its value, some changes will need to be made and are being made if the church is not going to die on its feet. We have to find a balance. Now, if you are feeling somewhat helpless and frustrated, here's something you can do right away. You can listen to what Angela said early. She stole at least one paragraph of my sermon, which I tried to make short. So, don't leave prayer to other people. Don't think that you can't pray. You can. I hope you can. It's an essential part of the Christian life. It doesn't need to be difficult. Just come and be quiet and listen. Listen to God. Now, the prayer stations are there to help you. So do please sign up and come, as Angela said. Now, down in the church rooms is a rather attractive board upon which are some of the requests for prayer from the children and young people. Go and have a look. It's very enlightening. And do pray for them. They need your prayers. Life isn't easy these days. You may feel at somewhat of a distance in this congregation, but go make use of that prayer board. Are we powerless in the face of change? No, I don't think we are. In fact, we can be a really important part in wise change. What we have as a congregation is accumulated wisdom and experience. Years and years of it. Maybe we could have more time to devote to prayer than some of the younger congregation in the midst of their family demands. Do you remember that tired all the time syndrome of years ago? On Tuesday evening, a few of our congregation met with others from the churches in Sea Mills, Lawrence Weston, Avonmouth. We're a newly formed pioneering mission hub. And if you don't understand what that is, then have a word with one of us later. Each church was asked to give an account of its pluses and minuses. the challenges it faces. This was not a grumble, it was facing reality. And the picture is sobering. But our evening together turned out to be an encouraging evening of support for one another. An expression of unity of the three main leaders and their congregations. It was empowering. We prayed together. We listened to God. We talked with one another. We listened to one another. We took it all to the Lord in prayer. And I think it's true to say that we went on our way rejoicing. Yes, there are huge challenges to overcome. But others have had more. James was saying a minute ago that he was cold. Now, James, you could have had much worse problems. Some have been imprisoned and even lost their homes. Some are refugees. Do you really have any cause to grumble? So remember those posters during the war and watch what you say. Careless talk costs lives. We're fighting a war against flesh, the world, and the devil. Words and attitudes matter. United, we stand. Let us rejoice in the Lord and pull together to win the war. Amen.